This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Frida Liu.
And Arvini Brach.
If you're only just joining us, our conversation today is all about working hard. Does it still give you a better life? That's the question that we're asking. And that's because of the 2020 Edelman Trust Barometer, now in its 20th year, has found many people no longer believe working hard will give them a better life. Despite strong economic performance, a majority of respondents in every developed market do not believe they will be better off in 5 years' time by working harder. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? We've got a couple of tweets. We've got a WhatsApp message. Twitter first, please.
Yeah, so this comes from Christine, who says, yes, but privilege definitely plays a part. Your starting point in life definitely affects the extent of how much hard work can help you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that?
We should ask the tweeter.
Right.
The tweeter. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Let us know.
Tweet to us and we'll pick up on that.
Okay. So To Yi Heng said, as long as I don't cut corners will backfire, which equals no good life. Yeah, I get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
Can you explain it to me?
So long as I don't cut corners. You know, like how you're trying to, you know, be slipshod about your work and all that and cut corners and doing things, right?
Got it.
It'll come back to you if you do that, right?
But
no good life.
Okay.
Charles Brick says, working smart is a nice way of saying cheat without getting caught. Working hard has never guaranteed improvement.
Cheat without getting caught.
Charles, very well.
Right. Final story of the day before we come back to some more feedback is about mapping Malaysia's aging population.
Yeah, so this is based on like a very interesting article that came out in The Star. So what basically what they did was they mapped the states in Malaysia, and then they sort of gave us numbers and figures according to which states had the most aging populations and which ones would have the most aging populations in about 20 years to come. So Malaysia officially became an aging country this year, with the percentage of its population age 65 and above hitting 7.5%. And the statistics department also says that Malaysia will be classified an age country in 2040 when they are 65-year-olds and above make up 14% of the population. So the Star put up a few interesting numbers and stats to map out how the states differ. And Penang, which is the second top aging state in the country, will overtake Perak in 20 years to become Malaysia's oldest state. Figures from the statistics department show that Perak is the state with the largest proportion of people age 60 and above, followed by Penang, Malacca, Perlis and Kedah at the moment.
Oh.
But by 2040, Penang will be in the first place with 26%, followed by KL at 24% and Selangor at 22%. There are also a few factors that cause some states to become aging populations, but one of the biggest is migration or interstate migration, younger people going to urban areas to find work, as in, and also to study. Education is another reason, which is weird because all of the states that are going to be aging states are Penang, KL and Selangor, which are all of Malaysia's prime major cities or like capital cities. And if they are going to be like aging states in about 20 years, then what happens to all the other non-urban states and non-urban townships around? You know, does it get worse? Does it stay the same? That's something that they didn't get into. But according to aging researcher Chai Sentiang, the lack of skilled jobs is driving the working age population away from these states. He also says that for Penang, migration and low fertility rates are contributing to the population aging. So those are the problems. There are also a few solutions that are listed here. Senteng says states like Perak and Penang need to start creating more specialized jobs and upscale its economy to become less labor intensive and to cater to the learned young generation. At the moment, Penang's strategy is attracting investors to build factories in the state to create jobs, but the effort is showing mixed results. For some reason, it did not stop the outward migration of the educated population. Most of the high skilled jobs catered only to the requirements of industrial activities such as for semiconductor companies. That's why young people will still go to states like Penang to pursue their tertiary education, but they will leave at the end of it to find job opportunities elsewhere. Basically, in a nutshell, what it says is young people always, always move to KL or Selangor to find work because there are not enough niche industries outside these places for them to earn a proper living. Plus, the employment of foreigners as cheaper labor doesn't encourage young people in these sectors as well. Which is, for me, this is a really weird story because normally you would think like places outside of KL, Penang and Selangor would be the aging population places.
Right. Okay, what's the youngest state, out of curiosity?
I'll have to look it up in a second.
Okay, you look at it. So,
where would you guess before he looks it up?
East Malaysia.
That's what I was thinking too.
But anyway, it's because it's someone like me, I've come up to KL and work and everything, and so this has been in my life, and so I'm going to continue staying here, right? Mm. It's very difficult for me to go back to the home state. So I think that's what's happened as well. I see business opportunities, you know what I mean? Like we talk about care for the elderly, whether they're homes or, you know, getting people to, the aging population to just move out, say, maybe to Seremban, right? Negeri Sembilan. It's not too far from the city. And then having a whole residential area for someone a little older. But then, you know, it's cheaper to live out there, you know? So this is kind of opportunity if you see where they are and just sort of like, you know, develop residential areas that will suit them.
There is this...
where there's grey, there's gold.
Yeah. So speaking of Seremban, there is this housing scheme that I've been seeing in Seremban for the last like 3 to 4 years. And every time I see it, it's fully complete. It's like three-story houses. And no one has moved in. And the whole scheme has never launched. Everything has been complete for more than 3 years. Which got me into this discussion of why doesn't it sell? Like, you know, even though it's Seremban, even though it's close to the KL, it's only about a 40-minute drive. And I think that's because gentrification has not moved to these areas yet, or even if it does, even if you try out new things, people just don't want to move and work there. They might live there, but they still come to KL. And I guess that's why, I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I'm just saying that maybe that's why it doesn't take off in these like smaller places.
I think it kind of makes sense that the aging population is in KL, but mainly because of the population, right? That kind of makes sense. But as far as people moving to KL and you move here because you know that there are more jobs here and some of the skills that you have are more in demand here. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that Penang's aging population is because it's a nice place to retire. You know, it's a place where a lot of people think, oh, you know, when I've done hustling in the cities, you know, maybe I'll move to Penang where...
Working hard.
Where I've been working hard. You know, food is good. There's a sea breeze. There's a coastline. There's this, that and the other. I could see that happening. I could see that was something that I debated with, well, not debated with, but kind of had that fanciful thought of like, you know, when you retire in Malaysia, where would you move to? You know, either East Malaysia or maybe Penang is the kind of, you know.
I guess that makes sense because Penang, it has all the facilities of KL, but it's slightly more laid back.
Yeah,
and it has a beach.
And it's also a hop, skip and a jump to Thailand. You know, it's just over there. Langkawi is off the coast, just up there, and Thailand is just off there. And
A boat ride.
Yeah, it's the boat ride away.
It is slightly worrying that KL's next big city, it will be like the most aged population in about 20 years, though. That's like one thing. It's difficult to wrap your head around. That's what I'm saying. And then KL is going to follow. It makes you wonder, like, how are you spreading out the population in the country itself? Like, maybe we need more urban areas or we need more areas that has work.
Yeah. I think that second part is exactly what it is. Right. Shall we wrap up then? Okay. I've been in the studio, of course, with...
Frida Liu.
Are you going to cue me?
I am going to cue you. And?
Arvind Ibaraj.
Right. If you're only just joining us, it's at the end of the show, folks. But of course, you can catch up on the podcast, which will be available very shortly in the same places that you normally download your podcast from. That could be from your Apple device. It could be from your Android device. It could be over on Spotify, wherever it's from. That'll be up in just a few moments. The story that we've been running with and the question that we posed to you at the top of the show was whether or not working hard still gives you a better life. The results of the poll show that 48% of you are saying, yes, working hard gives you a better life, whilst 52% of you are saying, no, it does not. Very, very close there, of course. Then we moved on to
a story by Netflix, who said, according to Blind, which is an app, that they have the highest percentage of happy employees.
Then we finish with mapping Malaysia's aging population.
Right. If you want to stick around, of course, for our Breakfast Grill replay, it's coming up after the news. It's with Junior Cho, the CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia Berhad, ZGIMB, of course. On the back of recent news that insurance companies will increase healthcare premiums, we spoke to Zurich General Insurance CEO Junior Cho on the company's strategic plans for 2020, as well as trends in the insurance industry. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu, Arvind Yuvaraj, and our producer of the day, Christian Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.